There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
All right, my talkers, happy Monday. We're hanging out with Lori. Julia is out today, but one of the biggest fans we have on this show, one of our biggest fans, Mary Jo Peel, is in today, taking up the other half of the studio.
That's
how's it going?
That's right. Mary Jo Peel, one of our very first subs we ever had on this show 21 years ago.
Oh, man, what?
Mary Jo Peel, of course, she is an actor, comedian, a successful best-selling author of a book called Dumb, Dumb, Dumb that is my mother's book reviews. And people might know you also from Mystery Science Theater, even though when did that air? Like 25, when did that come on the air? Even longer ago than that.
No, 1990. I know I'm going to hear from fans. I think 1989, and then it went off the air in 1999, but then there are new iterations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got this radio show, my brother, you know, you never impress anybody in your family if you do anything. You know, that's part of what families do is keep you grounded, right? You know, they're not too impressed with anything you do. And it was like the first time that you filled in for Julia. So it was like year one or two. And I can't even remember
how did that come about?
Well, I don't know if you were doing your show with Kathy Hartnett or you'd done a show at the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Maybe, because I just moved back from New York and y'all weren't on the radar yet for me.
For you.
And so somehow, I can't remember what that connection was.
But I feel like somewhere I saw, anyway, and I told my brother, and he goes, Mary Jo Peel as in Mr. Science Theater. Oh my God. You've got to get me an autograph. I need a picture. I can't believe it. Are you real people like that? I mean,
how cute is that?
I know it was. It was just like, oh gosh, all right. You know, I'm like, finally someone's recognizing that, you know, this is a, you know, kind of. So anyway, thank you so much for being here today because I've always had so much fun.
Same.
Even though it's been a long time.
I know. I was really nervous coming here today. Oh, yeah. No,
you don't have to be. You're just naturally funny. Just absolutely. Just the way you react to stuff, I think, is one of the charming things about you. How you look, how your eyes work.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I think part of it is, I was thinking, and I was telling Grant this, is that it has been so long since I've filled in.
Yes, it has, because you were Cinderella and moved away and followed a dream to another city, and you were gone quite a while.
Yeah, we moved back in 2014, and then I don't think I've filled in. In any case, I don't know why I was getting so.
Yeah,
because you always make it really fun. So,
well, thank you. I'm glad you're here. Now on Mondays we always do a little thing called Weekend Claim to Fame. We're going to let Grant go first because he had just a little bit of a long weekend.
Yeah. We took a little nice trip up to, actually, we ended up staying just in Pine City. We were going to try to go to Pine River just near Brainerd, too, but we ended up staying for two nights in Pine City, right on a little Airbnb, right on the Snake River.
Oh, yeah,
and
nice.
It was just quiet, peaceful, kayaking in one night, you know, board games, because there was a bunch of board games packed in the air. Just me, Lily, and our two dogs, and we just kind of little retreat away from home.
So, you didn't look at your phone.
We didn't even have service. That was the beauty of it.
Oh, that's, there it is.
Because AT&T in Pine City, even though it's only an hour and a half north of the city, is not the greatest service up there for AT&T. But
worked out.
The one bummer part was right as we're leaving, my water heater breaks.
I thought you were going to say your water broke.
No, no, this is Grant.
My water heater broke.
Grant.
So I'm trying to be up there and be all like, don't want to talk to anybody, but we left, you know, and I had to get a hold of Centerpoint Energy. And then I had to have my dad come meet the guy so that someone was at the house. But so even though I did get away and get as much peace as possible, there was still, it never fails, right? Something always messes up your vacation a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, are we allowed to ask questions?
Sure.
Probative questions.
Yeah.
What made you decide between the pines? Were you driving and then you just thought, this is a good enough pine?
We liked Pine City because it's just so close. It's just an hour and a half north of the cities here, and we didn't want to drive two and a half hours. We thought about going up towards Lutzen where we had gone in the past, but...
But you planned it. It's not like you were just driving along and
we just went to Airbnb and we looked up the city and we had never been there before.
Oh, nice.
So it was just, there was some couple of nice restaurants in town, a place right on the river with some kayaks and a campfire. And we liked it so much, we asked to stay another night. Tracy, thank you. She's the one who runs it and she's a local around town here.
Okay,
so
cool.
Yeah, it was just a random... And then we liked it so much, we asked to stay another night and we'll make another trip up to Pine River. That's where we like to go, but it's just... It worked out well.
My claim to fame is I spent money at Lemley Greenhouse, going crazy decorating my yard with flowers.
Are you a gardener, planter? What is your dealio with all that?
I love to decorate with flowers outside.
Yes,
because we have a pergola. All of our neighbors were close together because I'm in the city. And so we have this big wooden pergola and I hang these huge baskets in Lemley Greenhouse out in Cottage Grove off of 18. He is a former firefighter. And so my husband knows him. They go way, way back. And he's older than Casey because, you know, he was like in the Army in Vietnam in 18. But he dreams in flowers. It's a family business. He makes the most incredible baskets. It took me 2 trips to get everything in my SUV. That's
really?
How many pots. And and I bought plants and made some pots. But my big thing that I got from Lemley was a twisted hibiscus tree that's going to have coral and yellow blooms.
Okay.
So, annuals or perennial?
You could keep it. You'd have to bring it in, cut it back.
Beautiful.
Have a place.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful. But anyway, I was all excited about my hibiscus tree.
Totally.
So that was it. I was just a gardening claim of famer.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, how about you?
What was my claim of fame? I'm going to say that I went on the most glorious bike ride yesterday. I love to bike. And that is, I wish I could put better words to it, but when I get on my bike, no matter what's happening,
the zen.
It's the zen. It's my place. And it was a perfect day for it.
It was.
At least in the morning, I like it a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
So I must have been out there for maybe 90 minutes, two hours.
Nice.
But I'm really slow, which I'm not. Well, I'm a little defensive about, but my claim
on your left, on your left.
Well, once a unicyclist passed me.
Oh my God.
I am not kidding you. Rice Creek Road Silver Lake Road in New Brighton, and I'm pedaling along, and there goes
that's pretty funny.
But I don't care. Like I just feel like I'm just owning that. This is what it is.
Yeah. I know. It really was that both days were perfect for anything outside. And for Minnesotans, 72 is their sweet spot. I always feel like it's a little cold. But
no. And sunny.
And sunny.
It's like these 2 days were the days we live for.
Yes. Yes.
All winter
during
long.
March and January, yes, right?
Right. They really were.
100%.
Perfect. Yeah, it makes you forget. It's like labor. Yeah, you forget about
forgotten.
It.
Yeah, labor. Yeah. That is what winter is like. It's like labor. That's why we stay and stay and keep doing it.
Oh, you forget about it right away.
Oh, all right. Listen, Mary Jo Peel is joining us. Julia's out today. When we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of. And it turns out it is someone that both Mary Jo and I are just not obsessed with, but we adore. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. It's Lori here for David at First Equity Mortgage. And David and his team of mortgage professionals are ready to help you. When you work with First Equity, it means you're working with somebody local. They're going to come up with a solution for you. You have somebody that's a champion on your side to get you the very best mortgage that you qualify for. You might qualify for a mortgage because of where you're buying a home, what your income is, but whatever it is, or it's same with refinancing. And they work with a whole buffet of different programs. So it's not like they're just working with a couple of institutions. And even better yet, real estate agents recognize the name First Equity and they're like, oh good, we know everything is going to work with them. The closing's going to happen on time. There's not going to be any last minute hiccups, that kind of thing. To get a hold of David, call 763-251-8000 or go to My Talk keyword David. Bebe Rexha is coming to the Fillmore. Ooh, June 12th.
Great venue.
I know. Mary Jo, this is the summer of concerts. I don't think we've ever had been rich in this many acts coming to the Twin Cities.
An embarrassment of riches.
It's an embarrassment of
concert. I saw that you went to Shania Twain.
Woo! Yeah. It was so fun.
I only know one song of hers that now I can't get out of my head.
Which one?
So, oh, God.
whose boots have your beds?
Looks like we made.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that song.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you'll be shocked at how many, when you go to Shania, how many songs you do know.
Yeah.
I bet. Okay, were all the women wearing cowboy boots and shorts?
No, but there were a lot of glittery cowboy boots, sequin cowboy boots. Excellent. I was so impressed. Leopard.
Excellent.
Good makeup, lots of jewelry.
Good makeup.
Couple of drag queens, which I really appreciated.
Right on.
And so, yeah, people, it was a turned out crowd.
Yes, cool. For real.
Okay. So I was just delighted to see this morning on GMA that Julia Louis-Dreyfus was going to be sitting down with Robin and George Stephanopoulos promoting her movie that is opening this Friday. And I thought, after I listened to the interview and then I saw her also on Kelly and Mark, I thought, I want to get the word out on this movie, You Hurt My Feelings, because it's Memorial Weekend. And if you are going to be around, Memorial Weekend can be a good movie time, but sometimes it's hard to find a grown-up movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just love her. I mean, is she that not brilliant?
Absolutely. I mean, she could just sit in a chair across. It's such a cliche to say I would watch her read the phone book, but she's just
she's that good.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. And Veep, I cannot stand it. Like, I have to rewatch it. Sorry to hijack the conversation.
Right.
But watching her in Veep.
She was terrific.
Fantastic.
What? How are you doing that?
She told Kelly and Mark, I think it was, the cast of Veep gets together to play pickleball.
Yes.
Of course.
They're friends.
Yes.
And that show ended 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And a movie she did with this same woman who directed this movie was called, it came out in 2013. It was called Enough Said with James Gandolfini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was kind of an adult rom-com kind of a thing. And it was like his last movie
that he did.
Yeah, of course.
And so this director, Nicole Holofcener, I don't know, I don't think I'm saying it, but she wrote this movie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus in mind. And it's called You Hurt My Feelings. And she plays, and we've got a little clip, but I just want to set it up. She plays Beth, this New York City writer who's had kind of a successful first book. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of pressure for the second book, you know, it was good. And she's made a living writing, you know, but so she's got this, what she thinks is this great idea. And her husband has always been her chapter reader, her first feedback. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know who read, you know, if you had somebody that would mm-hmm. read your, yeah, mm-hmm. when you wrote Dumb, 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 My Mother's
Book. Well, thank you.
I love that
thank
book.
Thank you, Lori.
It is so good.
It's a hot topic around my talk, for sure.
Oh, it is. My gosh. Everyone we gave it to is like, oh, this book is so good.
Yep.
But she's married. Her husband is Tobias Menzies, and people will know him from Outlander. He was also played Prince Charles or Prince Philip in season, I want to say, 3 and 4 of The Crown.
Okay.
And so you'll recognize, so he's her husband, and she overhears him on the phone, and they've been married like 25 years. She overhears him on a phone to his friend saying how much he hates the book she's been writing on.
He says hates. He loathes it.
And she overhears him, but he's been telling her this, so here they are, George and Robin asking Julia, like, you know, would this, because of course this is going to cause a big rupture in their relationship. Yeah. And what she would think about that if that happened in real life, because her real life husband.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Ben is Brad Hall, and right. I believe they met on SNL.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Little confession, like yes. Here in the break, we were talking about, is it ever okay, especially with a loved one, not to be completely truthful?
It is never okay.
That's not what we were saying.
Okay, America, it's never okay to lie.
But I'm curious,
that's what you're doing right now.
But did making this movie ever make you wonder if anybody ever lied to you about your work?
Sure, but I don't think they have, because I think people that are whose opinions I rely on are pretty truthful with me. You know, for real. You're looking at me like you think I'm lying.
I'm just looking at you like I feel the same way about the people who lied to me.
And she told Kelly and Mark, she said, for this story, she said, this woman, as an author and her number one reader and her cheerleader, has been lying to her the whole time. She said, to me, it felt like infidelity, and that's how I related to the character.
Mm. Oh, wow. I can't wait to see this, because the question they ask about, or that she responds to about her own acting and comedy work, she's still in that sort of zone, and who and the people she relies on for feedback.
She said, I would be utterly devastated if I found out Brad hadn't been telling me the truth about something. And I think he would feel the same way when he runs things past me.
Yes. Yeah. It's foundational. I think it does make me think. I was trying to think if anybody's ever lied to me, and I'm sure they have, but there's also the weird kind of middling lie where people will say something like, you'll do your one woman show, you put a lot of work into that.
The Hollywood speak on that is, oh, bless your heart, you tried, but it wasn't funny at all.
Did you try putting funny stuff in it? Like that helpful sideways stuff.
So passive aggressive, though. It really is. And you know, the other thing that for some reason GMA didn't post a lot of this audio, but the other thing she said about this movie, and again, it's called You Hurt My Feelings. It comes out Friday. She said the thing she likes about working with Nicole, who's the second time she's the director and the writer. She said there are no tropes. She said her writing goal is to not write female characters in all gaps. Her goal is to write human beings who happen to be female. And that is a big distinction.
Yes, right on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, I know they wanted to talk to her, but they ran out of time. But they wanted to talk. I could tell they wanted to ask her about the writer's strike. And, of course, obviously she would be on the side of the writers. Mm-hmm. But just about, you know, what dinks the studios are being about.
Oh, come on.
Come on. I mean, they are just like these mini rooms, which have basically made writers like, you know, Uber drivers. You know, they're personally it out. Yeah. That's the big thing they're trying to get rid of. We are on top of that, Mary Jo, those mini rooms. We are pro writers on this show.
Thank you. Absolutely. I have a lot of friends in the
anyway,
WGA.
Go see You Hurt My Feelings, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It comes out this Friday. Hey, everybody. It's Lori here for Learning RX. And I've got a testimonial that we just got for, I can't remember which locations, but there are seven in the metro area, including Hudson. So This is about a boy named David who he went from elementary to middle school, and he was having trouble with that transition. He had trouble with the amount of homework, rush through it, get a bad grade. He didn't stay organized, which is the thing that they expect you to do starting in seventh grade, maybe even sixth grade. And he just had a hard time. And when they brought him into Learning Rx, he had low processing speed and memory. That's what the cognitive skills assessment. So the slow processing, that's hard for you to stay on top of your work, take notes, do everything. He's jumped from 13th to 78% in his memory, from 9th to 68th. He's doing fantastic. Call 952-949-6900. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Oh, man, we hardly ever do this on our show, but Julia and I have been like so passionate about SOS, Save Summit Avenue. Uh-oh, somebody just hung up. Shoot. Anyway, about the proposed bike trail and what is the city doing, and it felt like, you know, to quote a bad movie, the fix was in. And anyway, we have with us today...
Bob is with us right now. I got to get Roddy back.
Okay, all right, so good. So Bob Katnack, am I saying your name right, Bob? You got to turn that music down, Grant. Is Bob there? I can't hear
him. He should be there.
All right, nobody's there. We're just talking to ourselves, me and Mary Jo. We're gonna debate Summit Avenue. Is that you, Bob? Yeah, nothing.
I'll work on both of them. You guys talk. For some reason, it's just not coming through. Let me talk to them.
We could have our heated discussion about bike trails, Mary Jo. Yeah, but anyway, just we just wanted to find out what is going on, because the city has been sued and the city was found, you know, all kinds of things. So do we have everybody?
We have Bob right now. I'm going to get Roddy after you. Just talk to Bob and I'll get Roddy up going.
Okay, Bob, welcome to the Lori and Julia Show, where we hardly ever do civic programs. Thank you so much. No one is there. Or not.
I can hear him. I'm going to call him back. I'm so sorry, guys. You keep talking. I apologize.
Yeah.
We're having some technical difficulties with the phone.
Anyway, Bob is working pro bono on behalf of SaveSummitAvenue.org about trying to get the city to respond by law about what in the heck is going on with this proposed trail of Summit Avenue. So that is the whole purpose of today. And then Roddy is spearheading, or one of the, I bet there's several leads on this, you know. Do you ever volunteer to be the head of any kind of an organization? Me either. I know. Neither do I. I'm just like, what? You know, I get a neighborhood email about something. I'm like, what? Oh, no, I didn't see that email.
I have a doctor's appointment.
Roddy is ready to go right now.
Oh, Lord. Let's try it. Roddy.
Hi.
Hi, Roddy. We have a connection. Roddy Turner, my bonus daughter, Nikki, is married to Kyle, whom I believe
I know.
You know. Do you know all that? All right.
I do know all that.
Okay. Were you at their wedding? Would I have met you at the wedding?
No, but you would have met my son.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, Roddy.
Who's a really good friend of Kyle's.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. Hi.
So are you spearheading Save Summit Avenue, SOS, the Save Our Street? Are you one of the co-heads?
I'm not a co-head. But I'm just one of the group of people who are on the steering committee.
Okay, that's what it's called, steering committee. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have you on today because I know the next time for public comment, whether you're pro or con, is this Wednesday, May 24th, at a city council meeting. And is it 2 minutes per person? Do we have to sign up in advance? Are you guys taking care of that? What's going on? How can people be involved that feel passionate about this either way?
Well, it's the city council meeting is Wednesday, May 24th, mm-hmm. Wednesday afternoon. The council meeting itself starts at 3:30. They're going to recess, and then there's going to be public comment starting at 5:30. It's at City Hall.
Okay.
It's in room 310 in city council chambers. Yes, comments are limited to 2 minutes.
Okay.
There's also an availability for people who can't be there. They can either phone in, they also can email, or leave a voicemail for their comments for the city council. But that has to be done. There's a deadline of noon tomorrow to do that.
Okay. All right. And
okay.
Thank you.
And Bob is with us as well now, just so everybody knows we're full scale here.
Okay, good. All right. So we've got everybody. And Bob, is it Katnack? Am I saying your name right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You're the lawyer working pro bono on behalf of Save Our Street, Summit Avenue, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. All right. So thank you. Thank you for that. And I understand you brought the lawsuit against the city for, was it data privacy violation?
Yeah, it's called the Data Practices Act.
Okay. Was that because people felt, and I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm quoting some bad old movie, but it felt like in some of the newspaper articles we were reading, it felt like the city council had already decided that Summit Avenue was going to be designated a trail and they were going to rip it up and start, you know, changing things that cost all this money, and that they weren't transparent about what exactly was going on with this whole issue.
That's exactly right. We're still getting some documents. There's probably more documents we don't have than what we do. Even what we've gotten so far shows us that the city was saying one thing publicly and saying something very different privately to some influential bike activists. Mm-hmm. Basically, they were saying it's a done deal. We have the votes. Just have to go through the motions. And then we have this, frankly, I have to be harsh here, this phony engagement process where the city said, oh, tell us what you think. And we told them, a lot of people told them what they thought. Uh-huh. It was 20-1 against the trail. And then they just kind of shut that down.
Yeah.
It's been hard.
Yeah. And Roddy, if I can ask you, because I mean, one of the things, you know, to me, it's like I know people are getting like, why Summit Avenue is an avenue. It's a residential, beautiful street. It's got the, you know, bike lane things painted on there. I mean, what I don't understand why they want to make an avenue a biking trail.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that really is the genesis of this whole thing. And to be honest with you, it's not necessarily a question that we've gotten a satisfactory answer to. Bob can speak to that, but I would say that, you know, one of the things that we asked in the data practice requests that we have made to the city was we wanted to see the studies that the city had done on possible other streets to use as a linking trail.
Yeah.
And which they have asserted many times that, yeah, they did these deep dives and, you know, Summit was, for a variety of reasons, Summit was the better choice. But interestingly enough, we don't have any documentation or data that says that they actually did those studies. Isn't that right, Bob?
That's exactly right. Now, they've changed their tune. They said, well, they were, quote, this is a direct quote, rejected at a high level, meaning they were never seriously considered to begin with.
Yeah.
But they kind of fudged that a little bit. And then we said, where are the documents showing that you look at these? They don't have any.
Yeah.
So they, again, saying one thing publicly, very different private.
Okay. So that's what you are trying to get to the bottom of. And then I want to ask you, is the city of St. Paul punishing the citizens of St. Paul and people who travel there because of this by not filling the potholes on Summit and Fairview? Are they punishing us? I'm serious.
Well, let's see. One of my car's tires was seriously punished in a pothole on Summit. But, you know, what's interesting about that question, thoughtfully, is that this plan is supposed to be... So Wednesday the 24th is the opportunity for citizens to actually talk to the council.
Mm-hmm.
The vote is scheduled for June 7th for the city council. And yet, construction isn't on the calendar, apparently, for 4 more years. And what the city has said in some meetings is that the trail will take 10 to 15 years to build.
Good Lord.
So we're looking at a possibility of 20 years. And so if we're being held hostage for the 1% sales tax to pay for the trail or whatever to fix the potholes, that really, that timing doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It smells to high heaven is what we did. It smells all the way around. Well, Bob, how do you feel about, you know, the change? Because I do, I mean, I know there are people that would like to see this happen, that they like, you know, they like the idea. I mean, I'm up and down on Summit all the time, and, you know, I see bikes on there, and I just think, oh, they could repaint the lines, but more importantly, fill the damn hot potholes because they're dangerous for bikes and cars. But, you know, do you think that the people, can we influence this?
There's a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is kind of like, well, what is this a good idea or isn't it? And two, is there anything we can do about it if it's not a good idea? Let me talk about the first one. We have a I'll assume that they're well-intentioned group of city staffers who don't know honestly the first thing about bike trails, mm-hmm. bike trail designs, or this is, Summit Avenue is a complex place, so they won't ask any experts in. So the point I'm making is this. Is it possible that you could improve the bike facility along Summit Avenue into places? I think it's possible.
Yeah.
The problem is we don't have the people engaged to do that. They refuse to ask the real experts because they're afraid they're going to get the wrong answer.
Oh, good grief.
And then second to your question, if I may very briefly, mm-hmm. can we influence it? I sure hope so. You know, they say, the staffers say, we got the votes, don't worry about it. And they might. But, you know, that's what they said at the Parks and Rec Commission, and there was a 4-3 vote. We just barely lost that. So I think people are taking notice, and they're not accepting on blind faith what they're being told by city staff.
Yeah. All right. Well, we applaud both of you, Roddy. You know, you for being one of the leaders of SaveSummitAvenue.org, and Bob for your work. And if people feel passionately either way about this, going to City Hall tomorrow, room 210 at 5:30 for public comment on this. And we'll be following the story. And we can't just thank you so much for being with us today.
All right. The city council is Wednesday.
Wednesday. Sorry. Yeah. Wednesday, May 24th. Excuse me. And if you want more information, go to SaveSummitAvenue.org. And you can find out the information and anything else that you have going on. But thanks, you guys, so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, you're so welcome. All right. There you go. That goes under civic engagement.
That's
something
right.
Gloria and Julia don't put checkbox under very often.
That's true. That is a
all right.
Detour for sure.
Okay, listen, when we come back, it's a show. Lori and Julia here with Ann Tressler of Tressler Law. We have been working with you for years, but we've never really talked about prenups. Give us the lowdown.
Well, a prenup in the state of Minnesota is also called an antenuptial. So if you hear that, they're talking about the same thing as a prenup. I encourage a lot of people to consider getting them, whether you have a ton of assets or little assets. It makes everything much more streamlined. You know what you're entering into. You've got your agreements in place if you get divorced in the future. They also address what you will do with your assets in the event of death. So it really helps for estate planning, and it really just helps for the future to avoid disputes.
I love that. Okay, so, but what about a postnup?
Postnuptial agreements are simply agreements that people who are already legally married enter into that, again, will also address what would happen to their assets in the event of divorce or in the event of death. So, again, these really can help streamline the process in the future.
Great information. And for your free one-hour divorce consultation, go to TresslerLaw.com or use my talk, keyword divorce.
Did you both, Mary Jo and I are writing this down. Did you say August 3rd?
The tickets go on sale June 29th, and then it's going to be on August 3rd. Yes, you're correct. Thursday night, August 3rd at CHS Field. So
I'm just getting up to speed on so many things that went by the wayside
right.
during yeah. COVID. And then
this is back.
As we, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm so excited.
It is really a fun yeah. night.
For sure.
Great night.
It's people were the, it is so much fun.
And feverishly making notes.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yes. So we'll be there, Mary Jo.
Excellent.
In fact, The thing I'm going to move on now is nothing to do with cats, but I was bugged about it. Oh, okay. So I was kind of goofy when I'm making my pots and stuff. I've just been playing music and, you know, I'm just dancing out in my yard and just, but the one I thought the one story celebrity wise that bugged me and upset me so much last week was, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, they were in New York City at this Women Visions Media something. I'm sure our friend Kathy Hartnett was there. It's Gloria Steinem's thing that she does where she recognizes trailblazing women. And so Prince Harry was there a week after the grim coronation of King Chuck, you know, with his wife, and she's in a golden dress and the mom is with, and it's at some fancy ballroom, and you know, they enter in through like a Hertz rent-a-car on the side of the hotel where it's being, but lots of
they're driving. They're not,
they're not driving yet. They're going in and there's just,
but they have a driver.
Well, no, they're out of the car and they're walking in.
So,
they have this really amazing kind of a night, you know, where they look like a glamorous couple and they're finally not on royal duty. So she's wearing a body hugging dress, but nothing. And anyway, scandalous, but in a way that she's wearing a dress she wouldn't know, she would have been dissuaded from wearing if she was still a member of the royal family. It's a sheath dress, if you can believe it.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, it's a sheath with spaghetti straps. It's like, but it would be, oh, scandal, you know.
Scandal.
So they leave and they, the next day we find out that they got chased by paparazzi, six SUVs with blacked out windows and obscured license plates and some scooters were chasing them. And they were,
through the streets of New York. Where was this?
On the FDR. So the event was in Midtown. So they were being trailed to the FDR, which of course you can, you know, there's lights, but apparently these SUVs and these motorcycles were going through the lights, and
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. So their driver, and they have two cars in their security. They got the decoy SUV and the SUV that Harry, Meghan, and I'm sure their driver said, "We'll lose them on the FDR." And if people have never been to Manhattan, but you've seen a movie about New York, it is the freeway, if you will, or the highway, if you will, that runs around the thumb of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. You've seen it
Good
in a million movies.
Yeah.
There's always car chases on the FDR. Okay. Always. So they were going. So, but then there was like, they made it up. Let me give you some of the headlines. Page Six. Why didn't they go out a different entrance? The Daily Mail. They've made it up for sympathy. It's so troubling. And Harry and Meghan were like, they put out a statement. We didn't make it up. We were afraid. Then the receipts start showing up. Guess what? Guess who buys all these photos? UK tabloids. Guess who's suing three of the UK tabloids? Prince Harry.
Yeah.
For privacy stuff. They're in an active lawsuit. A booking sheet was published for this evening. And guess what? You got a picture of Harry and Meghan in a car. That picture is worth $20,000 if it's bought.
Jeez.
If you got a picture of Harry looking angry, it would be $60,000. No less than TMZ and Harvey Levin confirmed finally over the weekend that, yes, indeed, this chase went on for 2 hours because the driver didn't want to go back in the city because I guess these guys were hitting cars, like the people chasing them. They didn't want to go back into where pedestrians.
It's amazing they didn't hit people.
Yeah.
It is. Here, let me just play George Clooney. This is about a week after Princess Diana died after getting chased in a tunnel, you know, and he was so upset because he feels like, you know, the British paparazzi is like nobody else. And so here's George just in out of, you know, he just called this press conference
impromptu. My boyfriend, George. Yeah, he always tells it like it is.
Here he is.
My first reaction has been to stay out of this. I want to be fair to the princess. This is not about me. But as I sit in front of my TV listening to tabloid journalists and editors dodging their own responsibility and placing the blame on a drunken driver or society or Princess Di, I now feel that the only fair thing that I can do is stand up and make one clear, concise statement. Stand up and ask this to the self-appointed spokesman, Stephen Koz, the editor of the National Enquirer, and all other tabloids positioning themselves as innocents. Princess Di is dead. And who should we see about that? The driver of the car, the paparazzis, or the magazines and papers who purchase these pictures and make bounty hunters out of photographers? Mm-hmm. It is no small task. Legitimate news sources like the LA Times and Network News should draw a clear line in the sand. Do not purchase your news. Do not use tabloids as a source. You define the difference between tabloid and legitimate news. Do your job. Inform responsibly. And as for you, Mr. Koz, and your colleagues, the Princess of Wales is dead. And okay. You have gone on television, and you have washed your hands, and you have placed blame, and you have deflected responsibility, and yet I wonder how you sleep at night.
Wow, we have to keep that forever, because every tabloid about Harry and Meghan, they made it up. It was 20 minutes maximum. Even the mayor of New York City said, well, you can't have a two-hour car chase. Not in Manhattan, but on the FDR, and Harry and Meghan were staying out on Long Island. If they lead the paparazzi to their home, then they got people crawling in the bushes, chasing them in a neighborhood where people could get hurt.
It's appalling. I just can't even imagine the two of them and whomever was
and their
with
mom,
them.
Her Doria.
Sitting in that
vehicle.
Car.
They got
terrified.
Out of one. They got out of one. They ended up going in a taxi. They ended up going to a
police
station.
And this is our
station.
Life. Yeah. This is our life. Thanks.
And I'll tell you what, at the Daily Mail, at Princess Diana's funeral, the editors of The Sun, News of the World, which is now out of business, The Daily Mail, The Express, and The Mirror were all banned. Who's in the Royal Rota that Harry has said is, you know, hounding the royal family? The Sun, The Daily Mail, The Express. Only The Mirror isn't. So you have to, people really have started to hate Harry and Meghan. It's this tabloid coverage. It's
what?
BS.
Okay, here's my question. Let's go way deep. Why do people care? Why do we care what Harry and Meghan do in their lives?
We gotta go.